Welcome back. Another solo episode for y'all. My back is broken. Just did a 14-hour drive yesterday back from Nashville, Tennessee. God, I love that town. Nashville, Tennessee. Bachelorette parties, bachelor parties. It's lit every single time. But you know when you like when you overdo it with travel and then you just feel like your body's just at the cusp of illness, the cusp of illness. For those of you watching, see, I'm rocking the green screen. I'm still figuring out how I want to do this thing. On the audio front, it's easy, right? You know, same old. But on the video front, what are we going to do for the YouTube motherfuckers? So I thought, hey, you know what? I already have a green screen at the crib. Let me sit in front of it, show y'all what I'm seeing right here. And I can just essentially just have my laptop up behind me the whole time. I don't know how this is going to end up looking, but you know what? It's all about trial and error in this two-bit operation of podcasting of 2024. But yeah, man, I'm back. It was a 12-hour drive, but with the lady and the dog, we added a nice 2.5-hour drive to that bitch. But what are you going to do? And by bitch, I mean, of course, the drive. What are you saying out there? Yeah, man, I'm feeling it. I hit the gym this morning. I'm just trying to fight this, just drinking mad water and stuff, you know? I watched that one Family Guy episode where she's like, I cannot get sick. I feel exactly the same way. I've just got a bunch of like projects and it's a bummer. Couldn't get up on stage. So, I mean, long story short, my lady got us Cat Williams tickets like 2 months back. So I was like, fuck it. We'll take a drive rather than I looked at the flights, but I say, fuck it. We'll take a drive. It's like $600 a person. And I was like, all right. And so, I mean, all things considered, it's going to be about 4-ish hours with the flight and actually 5-ish considering it's international with the flight and going to the airport and blah, 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 and putting a gun in your mouth, the whole deal. You know what I mean? So I was like, screw it. Let's drive this way. You can take the dog. It ended up being a great trip. We ended up going at the exact coldest weekend possible. This has been going on, by the way, for like 6 months this year. When I was touring in Alberta, Saskatchewan, no matter where I go, and it's like to the point where obviously it's just a coincidence, you know what I mean? I'm not Jewish, I don't control the weather, but everywhere I go, it coldness follows me somehow. Like I go to Edmonton, they're like, dude, Edmonton is known to be cold. They had like an unseasonable warmth that ended as soon as I arrived. Same with like the Vancouver. As soon as we get there, massive winter storm. They don't know what the hell they're doing with winter. They don't shovel shit. They don't know what they're doing. So we were there for a week, but as soon as we're leaving, everything's melting. Same exact thing with, it was literally in Celsius, like we're talking 28, 30 on average. Right when we arrive, it goes down to 18. On Sunday, it was like 15. Like people like jacketed the hell up. It's like Sudan when it's like hits 10 degrees Celsius, just pure winter in their mind. And as soon as we're leaving, it goes back up to 25. But you know what? I'm not complaining because your boy's AC in the Gulf City don't work. It does not work. And by the way, I got a second camera up here. Here's the thing with YouTube. You got to have event changes, they call them. So you got to switch it up. Now I'm looking at this. I don't even know if the camera is going to be lined up because I use an AI software that cuts them. So it'll be like, you know, stagger between camera one, camera two. But you know what? This way, people are like, oh, shit, the frame just changed. My fucking, whatchamacallit, has been refreshed, right? You know? Attention span, there we go. Imagine I zoned that on what that was and I couldn't figure it out. Irony. But yeah, this is the drive we pretty much did right here. I remember when I used to live in Michigan, and the first time I went to Tennessee, I thought that it would be racist as hell. And then when you go to Tennessee, you realize Michigan is the piece of shit, kind of. Like Michigan, as soon as you hit Michigan, it kind of gets better. I mean, Michigan's better than Ohio as far as like living there, but the roads are definitely not the case. Michigan roads are just fucking, it's just Beirut out there, man. It's crazy. Ohio gets nicer. But then, you know, as you go up, you see more snow, you see more freezing, the whole, you know, the cycle they taught you about, the freezing and the expansion, if you recall correctly, if you paid attention. I like to say I didn't, but I did. So as you go lower, the roads are a lot nicer. And then Kentucky is just crisp. Tennessee is great too, man. I really like the states, you know. I really fuck with the states. It feels like when Canada was good, it feels just like Canada before the stupidity kind of got out of hand here, you know. Like, everywhere you go here, it's a lot of check yourself out lanes, and sometimes they don't man the cashier one, so it's like you have no option but to do that. And when you have one item and card, it's fine, but sometimes you got a bunch, sometimes you got some cash you're trying to use up, and then you got to find a person or get in this long line. You go to a place, they gave you the plastic, or sorry, they gave you the fucking paper straw, and now you got to get two or three straws because you know this motherfucker is going to be absorbed and thick and non-sucking in like, 10 minutes of just being in the liquid. So you got to get a bunch. That's annoying as shit. And then you got to bring a bag everywhere you go, you know, which is, I keep bags in the trunk, but a lot of times I'll forget. And now it's a trip back to the trunk. But I'm like, fuck it. They're always $1.99 or 99 cents. And you're like, shit, just give me another one. I got so many of these no frills and whatnot bags in my car. I'm pointing at this camera, even though this camera might be doing this thing again. Over there, I went freaking Chipotle and shit like that. Bro, plastic straw. Classic, beautiful, turtle-killing plastic straw. Mwah! I love it. I love it. I went to a freaking, like, a thrift place, and they had a nice... Just the plastic bag, yes. You know, and I have one item here that I can absolutely walk out with. But just for the sake of reminiscing, you know what I mean? For good old times, give me a plastic bag, please. Let me swing that bitch as I walk out. But the way they thrift over there is a lot more dignified. I've noticed that. Like, look at this. A place I went to called Thrift Smart. Thrift Smart. Look at this. They kind of set the whole thing up kind of like a Walmart on the inside. There's a lot more dignity when it comes to it. Whereas in Canada, we got the Value Village, where it's like, just look at this, racks. Just Great Depression, like the door is locked as they open it, families rush in, just finding anything to close or clothe their families, you know, from the fucking cold bitterness of the depression life. That's, look at this. Just racks as far as the eye can see. Don't look at me in the eye. You can, and you still can't try anything, at least in the Toronto Valley Village. The you know, fitting rooms or whatever, they're gone. They're like, hey, buy it and get the fuck out. You don't get to try it. Someone wore that thing thoroughly. Someone wore that tank top for good 12 years. It's probably not going to fit your neck region. You're not going to figure it out till you get home. We have no refunds. Go fuck yourself. That's Valley Village. Thrift Smart is like, oh, yeah. They have like... limits to going into the... Actually, no, they had no limits going into the freaking fitting room. Just, yeah, I'm not the biggest thrifter, but it's something fun to do when you're down there, you know, especially when you got your girl with you. It's like scavenger hunt type shit, you know? And, before I get too far into it, the Cat Williams. All right, Cat motherfucking Williams Dark Arts... No, Dark Matter Tour. First of all, Cat brought it. Bridgestone Arena. That shit... was fun as hell. And Mark Curry was on the freaking tour with Cat Williams. Shout out to Mark Curry. That guy came on and did some like 15, 20 minutes before. Yo, he smashed. And Monique made a special appearance, which was amazing, you know, especially, you know, with the Club Shay Shay interview and all that shit. Monique brought it to right away, started going off. She was literally like, fuck Tyler Perry. When I say fuck, you say, and then 12,000 people, Tyler Perry, fuck Oprah. Like, shots fired immediately going in on, like, she ain't letting these people go. And I love it, yo. I love that. It's not even pettiness. It's just getting back at someone publicly. Like, I imagine Oprah's a nightmare to be around. I couldn't imagine being at the top like that, like white women goddess. For like decades, like that shit's gonna go to your fucking head, no doubt about it. But my only problem with the tour, nigga, 2 hours and like almost 20 minutes of openers. Like, we got there, it said door 6:30, 8 o'clock show. Again, switching up the cameras. I don't know what's gonna happen because the AI is gonna make the choice. 6:30 doors, 8 o'clock show. We pull up 7:45, $42 US event parking. Mind you, that's about 900 Canadian dollars, all right? This is a rough estimate of the exchange rate. Don't quote me on that. But, yo, I was in a daze. You know when, like, an explosion goes off, like the little show, like the Hurt Locker or whatever? It's like, and then everyone around's like, that's like the first hour of the show with the, like, first three openers. All I heard was, people are laughing around me. Just that $42? What? That'll fuck up your whole night, man. That's insane. That is insane. That's like extortion by even New York City standards. And I'm not talking about 24-hour parking. I'm talking about 4-hour event parking. And it wasn't even, I didn't go to the park at the Bridgestone Arena. I specifically was like, let me go like 5 blocks over, try to get that parking. And then, bro, the Nashville's advanced, man. They fucking just take a picture of your license plate and they just start billing you, which is probably a better system. But I just went in, I parked in a place, went to piss. As I'm pissing, it's like bloop, bloop. It's texting me because one time I scanned a QR code, put in my phone number, put in my license plate, billing information. Now they tied it all together. I guess it's all one freaking, parking mob family over there. I don't know what's going on, but I'm just peeing. They're like, thank you for parking at Monroe Parking. Just simply exit to end the billing or some shit like that. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I actually literally got one. While I was paying, I never got the one saying, hey, by the way, you paid this much, you know? It's just, it was open-ended. And you're like, yo, I left this bitch. Why did I not get the... Anyways, parking is crazy over there, but it's a better system. I'd rather do that than have to scan and do the whatever, man. God, the cost of having a car, they screw you at every turn. But yeah, we get there, 7:50, we're seated, 8 o'clock, one guy, I forget his name, he's like a local cat that opened, did 20 off the top. You know, people are, it's like a, you know, a lot of black people, so people are late. People are still coming until 8:45, 9. So I got that the openers had to do an hour, but man, he kept bringing people out. It was crazy, where it was like, y'all ready for Cat Williams? Well, you're going to love this next act, you know, we're from New Jersey and this and that. And there was a lot of funny comedians. I forget a lot of the names. I can tell you Mark Curry came out. Was it Tommy Davidson? Smashed. Not like Mark Curry, but... And then Monique came out and did a thing. Monique came out, was kind of like a surprise appearance. So she shared some stuff, did some jokes. It wasn't really like a pure classic stand-up act, but still well-received. Standing O as she came in, place exploded. Like, it rejuvenated the energy before... before Kat came out, because at that point she was literally seven people. I remember I went to watch Nate Bargatze one time and he had like 4 openers, and the last guy before him, he opens with another guy that's not Nate, and that got a nice pop off the top. So I was really waiting for someone to acknowledge how many opening acts there was, and no one ever did. And everything has like a Def Jam vibe to it. Everyone comes out dancing to a song like, Yo, Nashville, y'all don't give a fuck. Like, that type of shit. And everyone, like, did a dance and shit. And they literally brought a musical act at one point. It's called Lil Ma or some... What was her name? Lil Ma? Let's see. I'm trying to figure out where to put this thing right now. Lil Ma Nashville. Anyways, who knows? She was just some singer. She came out and started singing and shit. And you're like, okay. And then another lady after her. Mark Curry. Tommy Davidson. Monique. It was a lot. But then when Kat came out, he did his thing. Kat and them doing like 50 minutes. Kat pulled up 10:20, got off stage 11:10, which I was like, on one level, like, we have... it's so satisfying to be able to get the fuck out of here at this point. And his closer was amazing. His final bit was all about like reparations would end racism, and it's just a fucking amazing bit and strong closer. But I really wish like it was an hour and a half max, an hour of openers, and he did like more like an hour 15. That's what I would have hoped for, you know, having paid what we paid, done the whole thing. But it is what it is. He made sure people felt like they had a show. Because I guess, a lot of people, they get, like, babysitters and everything. So you really got to make an event. So in that sense, you have a lot of openers. But I'm just like, wow, this is... You pushed it. you pushed it two people on this one, and a couple weren't that strong. I wish I had their names remembered, but it was a great show. After that brisket, you know, that's my shit. Let's look at some. This ended up being the spot for brisket right here. Was it shot? I think it was called Shotgun Willie's BBQ. Shotgun Willie's. Have you noticed that with
If I just put this over here and your buddy just stepped it up to the next level. Let's see if a nigga's still in focus.
Yeah, hocus pocus. Young boy's in focus. Shout out to this camera right over here one more time. Barbecue is one of those only things that when it looks like this, like when you Google map a storefront of a restaurant and it looks just kind of like busted down. This one's not a great example of what I'm going for because it's actually pretty well painted and stuff. But if you see a place that's like cash only and it's kind of busted down, barbecue is the only time we're like, yo, this is the spot for sure. This is it right here. Look at that, man. Look, there's bullet holes in the window. There's stray dogs. Like, it's like an old tavern, like, you know, like the Wild West, the way that like you'd go into a tavern, that door would swing like that. And it's always busted, broken old doors. There's whores all about. Yo, that's going to have the best brisket. That's going to have best ribs, sausages, whatever the fuck. That's the spot. And this kind of hit on that shit, too. It was great. The first day we went to, like, you know, they know everyone's there, or a lot of people are there knowing it's like, you know, a barbecue spot. So a lot of people kind of do it. Meh. First day I was there, I had some brisket that was like pretty dry. To be honest, it was a giant prop. It was like going to a Boston Pizza in Canada, but they had brisket. So you get what you get, you're right? It was fucking dry, to be honest. And I was like, shit, we can't leave on that note. And then we went to I did some Googles, Shotgun Willie's, even though it did take debit, which was a little, you know, concerning because, like I said, my cash only theory. It ended up being great, man. I even posted a video of it. That shit was juicier than a motherfucker. God damn, boy. I love watching them cut thick slices of that brisket and the juice comes out as they and when they plop it onto the freaking scale and just a little juice comes out. Ooh, shit. My dick wiggles a little bit. Like, oh, I don't know what that means, but your boy's ready to eat, son. Gave Gunner a little bit of it. Man, he lost his mind, bro. Gunner becomes, it activates the beast within. If you want to bring back, at least with my dog, if you want to bring back that wolf DNA, beef. Like, whenever I feed Gunner a little beef out of the palm of my hand, that's the only time I'm afraid. Like, he can't discern what is my hand, what is the meat. Like, he's just fucking chomping. Like, and it's like the teeth come out. They sharpen almost in that moment somehow. I don't know what's going on, but that boy loved beef, man. You know, runs in the family. We got brisket running deep. Something I've noticed when I go down to any city, just because I've been touring a lot, is I pay a special attention to the realtors and the lawyers because they always dominate the billboards. When I have a kid, and people say, what would you want your kid to do? I want my kid to do any job that will not be advertised on a billboard. And by that, I don't mean like he's in the movies and it's a movie. Nah, I'm talking about comedians. You know what I mean? I don't want my kid to be fucking out there like, yeah, laugh so I can sleep at night, please, so I don't hurt people. Right? I don't want that. That injury lawyer, I don't want that. You know, realtor, that's probably the least, you know, on that list. That's the one I'd be like, yeah, you know, if you're killing it, you're killing it. But the guy out there, Nashville, Mark Spain. Let's take a look at Mark Spain right here. Mark Spain. Usually, I like it when they have a rhyme. Your pain, you know, selling can be a pain if you don't do it with Mark Spain. You know, that type of shit. And watch that have been, you know, one of his slogans or whatever at some point. But I was driving all over the place. I'm like, Mark Spain. I remember I have friends now who are realtors for years, but I remember before I knew anybody in realty when I was younger, I was like, yo, all these people with their billboard are killing it, man. They're fucking so much money. They got billboards. But I didn't realize it was like prospective. Like, you got to invest money in the bus ads. Like, my buddy dropped 30 grand on, like, months of a whole fleet of buses to show his face for his realty thing, and the return was terrible. But, and it's difficult to, like, assess what the percentage of leads are that come from that. But he's like, yeah, I'm never doing that shit again. And I remember being like, yo, man, these people are on buses. They're killing it. Whereas the total opposite, you know, you got to do your marketing budget up front to fucking hope for anything. Obviously, this GTA is run by, or at least the Mississauga area. We got Sam McDaddy. That's that face, that Botox face. We all know that's a lot of work right there, brother. He's angry right there in this photo. He's very angry. You can't really tell. Look at that on the left. That looks like he's leaving. He's leaving human face on that left. That's just right at the point. You're like, okay, this guy just got his eyebrows done 10 seconds ago. Then on the right, you're like, you crossed over into a dimension there on the left, man. Like, his eyebrows don't do anything else. Even there's no photo of him not smiling, so you can't tell. Yeah, like, look at this. The eyebrows are always doing that, like, Latina surprise draw on shit. Like, what? This nigga's constantly surprised. Constantly surprised. Look at this photo right here. Oh, that's the power couples right there. If it's not Sam McDaddy, I don't want it. Yeah, look at that. Sam McDaddy. This is what realty does. This is why I wouldn't want my kids in realty right here. Not to judge people, but let's zoom in and judge. This guy on the right, Milwaukee Bucks, George Hill. Regular guy, right? Goatee. Then on the left, we have the eyebrows of vanity. That's not what you want to have. You want to, and, oh, by the way, and if you look at his, because I don't know why we looked at McDaddy before, but that point thing, anytime he's next to somebody, he does that exact same point, which I've begun to realize I do that shit too. I had to stop once I realized Sammy boy over here is pointing every time. Like, look at this motherfucker I be with. Anyways, realty, my whole point is, would not want that job for my kids. That just seems like a career I would not. Look at this right here. I'm pointing. Look at this motherfucker I be with. Ooh. Yes. There we go. An injury law. Back as we're going through Detroit. Detroit, every time I go through there, America just does billboards better. It's like clearly different billboard laws or something. I don't know what's going on with them, but like, I didn't even know. Look at this. Can you see this right here? For those of you watching, 1 second. Yeah, look at that. Like, I didn't even know you could go portrait with a billboard. Is that even allowed in Canadian law? I've never seen a billboard portrait. It's only landscape. Mike Morse Law Firm. Yo. Why call anyone else? That's a fucking good question, yo. Why would I call anyone else with a billboard like that? And injured right at the top. That was the second name of Michigan, right? When they were workshopping the name, it was either Michigan or injured. Injured almost won. Injured? I remember when I lived there, the main billboard you would see is this freaking guy, the least trustworthy. This Mike Morris guy actually looks kind of trustworthy, but the Diamond and Diamond people? Oh, my God, dude. What? Is there a less trustworthy-looking human being than this motherfucker right here? Just the way that, like, look, that center guy. Just that smile, man. I wouldn't trust you as far as I can throw you, mother. Why is he doing that face here? That's weird. That's like if you pause the porn at some point. And the chick just goes, like, who? Please tell me this is like pausing a video at some point. Because this nigga got his mouth agape like a motherfucker. That, and I think I've known someone who's actually dealt with him. And obviously they got screwed. They fully got screwed. Look at this. Lawyers love to show you a team of how many lawyers the firm has. That doesn't inspire confidence. If anything, I'm like, okay, so the majority of those are for large accounts, right? And who even knows if they're lawyers? There could be 15 admin people here, some account managers. Just because you're standing in blazers doesn't make me feel like I'm going to win anything. I just know I'm going to get fucked more, if anything. Jeremy Diamond fined $100,000. Can't practice for 3 months. Ha, ha, ha. Look at that. That's hilarious. That's why That's why he got a beard. Toronto lawyer Jeremy Dimon fined $100,000 over misleading ads. Can't practice for 3 months. They put this nigga on a timeout. Diamond's penalty is not a suspension, but he must comply as if suspended. Diamond plans to appeal, his lawyer said Friday. Yeah, of course he plans to appeal. Let's see what he did. According to an order, this Diamond is the face of the firm. This nothing is tougher than a diamond. In March 29, except this ruling, obviously. In March 29 decision, the panel ordered Diamond not to practice law or provide legal services for 3 months starting in this. This is last year, April. The Law Society Tribunal is an independent blah, blah, blah. In a manner, during the three-month period, Diamond must comply. What did he do? What did he say? It is an order that does not affect or impact the operation. Nevertheless, what was it? And the failures of honesty and integrity. Just say it. Having improperly rejected the joint submission of the Law Society and counsel that a reprimand was both fair. Just tell me what a boy, like, show me an example of what the nigga did. Forget these people. You're just trying to get a simple. The whole point is you can't trust injury lawyers. Having actually gone through the whole injury law process, I realize what it is now. My car got my Jetta, diesel Jetta. Rest in peace. Someone hit it at fault, came out of nowhere, totaled my car. I had back pain and shit like that. And I had treatments for a year, went through that whole process. And then I'm realizing it's just a numbers game for them. Most people, nothing comes from them. There's no settlements. I ended up going through this process for 4 years. Like 4 years of... And I love how the doctors go, hey, you should probably... Or sorry, the lawyers, they're like, hey, you should probably go back to your doctor and complain. And you're like, you've been healed kind of thing. And you're like, yeah. Okay, they're like, complain about anything. Complain about lack of sleep, this. They got to build a case. And my buddy actually got a huge settlement. One sec. Homie's trying not to get sick. Again, shout out for that side camera there. My buddy actually got a huge settlement, and he said they look at your social media because I think my lawyers were like saying depression or whatever the fuck. And they look at your social media and they'll literally base it. Be like, look, this guy's posting funny shit. His content is popping. How could he be? How could this man be depressed? Look at his content, you know? And nothing came of it. I end up having terrible insurers with respect to like settlements and stuff. Aviva Insurance, if you are in Canada, I don't know if they're in America, avoid them like the plague, you know? Pay a slightly more premium and get somebody else that has better coverage. Aviva was a nightmare the whole way through. A nightmare. In the end, after 4 years, they're like, nah. In fact, they still owe the people that were massaging me. For 1 year, you get like massage treatments and fucking chiropractor shit. They owe those guys mad money. They still haven't paid them. Forget about a settlement with me. They haven't even paid those motherfuckers yet. And so it's a numbers game. Like a lot of these, most cases end up like me. Nothing comes of it. And then they get the big cases. And then hopefully that'll butter their bread, if you know what I'm talking about. Ah, Shotgun Willies. If you're in the Nashville area, try that shit. I'd love to have a little Shotgun Williams with Mark Spain. But Cat Williams, man, he really brought it, dude. He really brought it. He did not address Club Shay Shay, which I was disappointed about. I'm not going to lie. The whole time I was like, he's got to talk about what happened afterwards. You know, like people, oh, shite. That's what happens when you're on a two-bit operation. Luckily, your boys got lights. For days. Oh my god, look at this. You can't even stop me. You literally can't stop me. Now this is gonna mess up the green screen because we use some program. Is this even nicer? God damn. This might be even more tasteful lighting. For those of you on the audio, the main light died. But your boy, oh actually, now there you go. There you go. I almost blocked that side camera for a sec there. Can't be having that. The content shit never fucking ends. Anyways, now I'm back in the city. Now I'm trying to figure out how to get back out there. Didn't get a chance to go up. I tried to hit up Zany's and get up on stage out there, but could not. Try to find an open mic. Could not. There was like just a bunch of like random shows. Nashville is not. It's so music oriented. There's not, besides Zany's Comedy Club and giant headliners coming in through arenas and stuff. there's not really that much going on for you to get on stage, which is, I haven't been on stage in a fucking like 4 days, man. God damn. Tonight, we're going to change that, though. We're going to burst the bubble. If you could, I don't know if that's even a thing to say, but we're going to burst that bubble tonight. You know what? I'm not in the space or in the, look at me, man. I can't even recall words anymore. This is why I blame weed smoke. I tried to take all of Ramadan off. I made it almost to the end and I broke. But you know what? I realized when I smoke a lot, I can't recall words. But then when I stop smoking, it like, at the beginning, it's great, but then you kind of like converge back to exactly how you are. So I'm like, oh, okay, actually, I just love smoking. I enjoy pot. I really enjoy it, especially as like a break time type thing. But this word, recalling words thing has been annoying me, man. It's been an issue for a while. And like I said, even when I stopped smoking, which maybe I got to give it more than 3 weeks, maybe that's the issue there. But what I wanted to say is I'm not in the space of, you know, elongating things unnecessarily. I wanted to come in here, talk to y'all. Like I said, this is going to be sometimes solo, sometimes guest. I'm trying to figure out the video situation. Green screen is for a while just because or maybe I'll switch back to that. But I like green screen because I can just put the shit behind me and rather than like do some weird thing and put it like right here or some next shit like that. I'll just put it up behind me. Now, let's see while I edit this if it ended up messing up when the lights fell off or whatever. But we'll see. This is a work in progress. And also, I'm going to get a theme song sooner or later. I'm going to figure that out. But I got to catch up on life. Yo, I've been off the grid for like 5 days. Got a lot of shit to do. And May 3rd, make sure to come out. See the collection of new shit that I'm putting together. New material. Some stuff you haven't heard. Maybe some of the newer stuff you heard on the, if you've seen me, you know, in the last 2 months. But yeah, May 3rd, 2 shows, 8 and 10 at Backroom Comedy Club. Not at Free Times, which I usually do it. I'll have another Free Time show at Boston Friends, like normal at the end of the month. This is me headlining it. So doing a longer set at the end, classic headline style. Maybe I'll do 2 hours of openers, cat style, as an homage to good old Cat in the Hat. That guy's a beast, man. The fucking legend. I don't know if I'm going to get the opportunity to work with him. Like by the time he like steps out of the game and I'm like, I'm beginning to hit. I don't know if it's going to overlap. So it was at least sick to actually see him live. And check out Mark Curry. If you don't know that comedian, holy fuck. Wow. He brought that shit. But okay. Yeah. Sorry guys for the lateness. But like I said, 14-hour drive. Fucking got home almost 1 a.m. But it's not like any of y'all holding your breath. It is what it is, and it ain't what it ain't. But yeah, until next time, tune in to the Bas Wahab Show. Maybe a guest, maybe another solo. We'll see. But thank y'all, and I'll see y'all soon. Peace.